This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, October 23, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. With the federal government instructing the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services to temporarily pause SNAP benefits, local food pantries are seeing a spike in assistance requests. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the latest.
We've been in existence since 2015.
Executive Director of Kent County's Community Food Club, A.J. Fossil, says for the first time in their 10-year history, a wait list has been created due to the rising demand for food services.
Since 2023, we've doubled the amount of households that we're serving every month at the food club.
Fossil says over 9,000 people shop in their nonprofit store for a week's worth of groceries, with another 1,000 households joining the club's wait list since May.
And we just knew that we didn't have the funding to be able to continue to allow everybody to walk into our store as we normally had.
Fossil says food access was already unstable in Kent County. And although Community Food Club can't replace the loss of SNAP benefits, they're doing what they can to fill that gap.
But the charitable food system is really maxed out at this point.
More information can be found online at communityfoodclubgr.org. I'm David Limbaugh.
A Grand Rapids group that unites nonprofits, businesses, and local partners to create jobs is celebrating a decade of its impact on the community. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
The Grand Rapids Center for Community Transformation is marking 10 years of driving economic transformation in the Madison Square neighborhood. The center works as a hub for collaboration, helping residents gain access to networks, business contracts, jobs, and resources. CEO Nathan Bean says it's based on entrepreneurship, social innovation, strategic investment, and career pathways.
Everything we do is about transformation. It's about transforming individuals. It's about transforming organizations and businesses. Also, it's about transforming the city.
Over its 10 years, leaders say the center helped more than 200 entrepreneurs grow their businesses, trained nearly 6,000 young people for the workforce, and assisted residents in earning more than 750 professional credentials. Founder Dr. Justin Bean says one future project is rebranding the 49507 zip code as Southtown.
Reimagining it as this bustling hub of innovation and entrepreneurship and cultures and cuisine and local art, and really beginning to say, how do we put Southtown on the map, not as this place that needs to be saved, but rather a place to invest in.
I'm Dee Morrison.
One building owner says removing parking on Wealthy Street in Grand Rapids will turn East Town into a ghost town. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the plan under discussion would eliminate some street parking and replace it with a raised bike lane.
This project will shut down East Town and make it a ghost town.
Building owner Shauna Bokamp says the choice is between businesses and bicycles.
What is really essential here? Keeping the businesses open or making a few bikers happy?
When the city replaces water mains and makes other improvements on Wealthy Street next year, the latest plan eliminates parking spaces between Fuller Avenue and Lake Drive and adds a raised bike lane.
This is a complete disaster.
Building owner Mark Owing says Wealthy Street businesses need the on-street parking.
We rely on street parking to function.
But Andrew Carly says the raised bike lane will make cycling safer.
Building this protected infrastructure is a step in the right direction.
And looking at data from other cities, Laura Sessa says removing parking to install a bike lane is not necessarily bad for business.
On the contrary, cyclists love spending money at local businesses.
The city commission has not yet reviewed the Wealthy Street plans. After more than a dozen public comments on the possible design at their meeting this week, city manager Mark Washington said,
this conversation is going to happen over and over and over. If our vision for our city is to become a bikeable community, you have to make some tough choices.
I'm Phil Dawson.
A historic Grand Rapids manufacturer has been acquired by a new joint venture. WGVU's David Limbaugh has more on the acquisition of American Seating.
Two longtime customers of American Seating, NFI Group Inc. and Gillig LLC, formed a 50-50 joint venture earlier this year called GR Seating LLC, which acquired American Seating in a transaction finalized Tuesday. The new owners say they will maintain Grand Rapids operations along with the American Seating name and continue the current contract with UAW Local 135, which represents 170 employees. In a statement, American Seating Chairman Ed Clark said that the, quote, capital infusion will enable the company to complete the move to the new headquarters in 2026 and focus on continued growth and innovation, end quote. The company has been in the process of relocating its longtime headquarters from Grand Rapids' west side to a former Steelcase property on the south side near 44th and Eastern. American Seating was founded in 1886 1986 as Grand Rapids School Furniture. It was the first manufacturer to produce a combined student desk chair. The company's name was changed to American Seating in 1906. I'm David Limbaugh.
The West Michigan Asian American Association held its annual gala on Wednesday, introducing new leadership and laying out priorities for the organization in the coming year. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The nonprofit West Michigan Asian American Association advocates for Asian American and Pacific Islander communities, focusing on healthcare, education, and economic development. New Executive Director Dr. Yiling Wenlin Liu sees the association continuing to address health disparities, language barriers, and lack of health insurance, but says safety has become a top priority.
I'm hoping that our organization can help more children and families in our community feel safe, right? And so that we provide lots of services to ensure they find that sense of, you know, safety and belonging.
Wenlin Liu says youth mentorship and scholarship programs are focal points, as well as vocational English as a second language courses to help new Americans integrate into West Michigan.
We know that there are lots of entrepreneurs in our immigrant and refugee population, and we hope to elevate and amplify what they're already doing, but also be a good connector to help them grow their business to the next level.
According to census data, people of Asian descent account for about 3.4% of Kent County's population, just under 3% in Ottawa and Kalamazoo counties. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin previews a tribute to ABBA coming to the DeVos Performance Hall, but first, news from around the state. A bill to make it faster and easier for defendants to fend off lawsuits from business or government interests designed to stifle criticism cleared the State House on Wednesday. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The bill would allow the targets of lawsuits to seek an expedited hearing for a judge to decide whether a case should go forward. Democratic Representative Kara Hope is the bill's sponsor. She says the interests that file the lawsuits have time, money, and attorneys to wait out adversaries they want to silence. She says the defendants can't always afford to spend that time in court defending their free speech and protest rights.
The plaintiff doesn't care about winning their case. They just want to shut the person up and make them waste a lot of time and money in doing so.
There are carve-outs for business disputes and civil rights claims. The bill was adopted with wide bipartisan support and now goes to the state Senate. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
A Michigan Senate committee heard testimony on Wednesday on bills to crack down on spam calls and texts. Colin Jackson has more.
The bipartisan bills will largely stop telemarketers from reaching out to people on the federal Do Not Call list at the risk of being sued. Democratic State Senator Mary Kavanaugh says there are exceptions for things like business subscription texts.
Customers can say, yes, you can reach out to us. Yes, we want to be a loyal customer. Just so that you need to get that pre-authorization.
Despite that, E-Commerce Innovation Alliance President David Carter worries inconsistencies in how the bills withdraw exemptions could lead to frivolous lawsuits.
Each of these laws that gets adopted that differs from the federal standard and differs from a state-to-state standard creates an opportunity for litigation.
The bills remain in committee. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
As the federal government shutdown drags on, Michigan Congressman John Molinar is attacking the Democratic Party, accusing them of playing politics. He took questions from constituents over the phone on Wednesday. The Republican represents much of mid-Michigan and parts of the Northwest Lower Peninsula. Molinar, who voted to keep the government open, wants Senate Democrats to support a short-term budget, which would keep funding levels stable through late November.
So clearly, the Democrats have made a decision to use a government shutdown inflicting pain on the American people as a way to gain leverage for policies and politics. And to me, that's just wrong.
Democrats are standing firm on extending enhanced tax subsidies for the Affordable Care Act as a condition to support reopening the government. Molinar said negotiations could occur, but warns the shutdown could jeopardize the subsidies as they expire in December. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Mania, the ABBA tribute, returns to DeVos Performance Hall this Sunday, and WGVU's Shelley Irwin speaks with LA-based singer-songwriter Melissa Harding about the tour.
Mania, the ABBA tribute, does bring the life of flamboyance. The 1970s, all the uplifting, dance-inducing, and sometimes heartbreaking songs. Why do we talk about this? Because you'll experience mania this Sunday. I look forward to talking about this and talking to you, Melissa Harding. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, let's self-disclose. Where are you speaking to me at this point?
I am sitting on our tour bus this morning. We have just arrived in Madison, Wisconsin. We're doing a show here tonight. So tour bus living, you know, different city every day.
Well, be careful what you wish for, because tis the way. I trust it has to work, and it sounds like you're fine with it and living the dream. Mania, the ABBA tributes. First of all, tell me a little bit about you, Melissa.
Well, I'm an LA-based singer. I've been working professionally for the last 20 years, and this is my third year with Mania, the show, and one of my favorite jobs ever. You know, it's just a really, really fun, joyful tour to be a part of. So we're excited to come through.
Yes. Have you also provided vocals for bands like Motley Crue, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Youngblood Hawk?
That is absolutely true. I was actually, for many years, I was a backup singer for a rock band called 6 AM, which is actually a side band of one of the members of Motley Crue. And yeah, a lot of my professional, you know, recording and touring was in the hard rock world, but my background was actually in musical theater. Mamma Mia was the first show I ever saw on Broadway when I was 17. And so this job is kind of a lovely juxtaposition, I would say, between the different parts of my life, you know, the more pop and rock touring part of my life and the theater part of my life.
Good. You are following your passions. It's this Sunday. I'll give the website for sure for our DeVos Performance Hall, but let's have you describe what Mania is all about.
Yeah. You know, what I think is so cool about our show is for anybody that loves the music of ABBA, and especially those that have never had the opportunity to see ABBA perform, although they are still around and they're still creative people in the industry, they don't tour that much anymore. And so there's a lot of love for this band. And so I think what's pretty special is we are giving people this opportunity to come be in the audience and experience that music live, right? You know, not only us singers, but our incredible band recreating the sound of those records. It's a really special thing. So I think the music is timeless, and it really transcends a lot of different genres. And so we have people from 6 years old to 90 years old in our audience, and that's pretty special.
Yes. Will it be like I'm watching, you know, ABBA on stage? Is it such that it's a true tribute, or is there a story? Tell us more, Melissa.
You know, it really is a tribute to many of their different looks and live performances. So I never say that we're replicating one specific concert. So for example, we come out on stage in the very famous Eurovision Waterloo outfits that they wore when they went on that show and did that competition, which is really what struck them into true stardom, I would say. But we are doing a live concert, right? So it is this idea that it's interactive, we're talking to the audience, we're breaking that fourth wall, and we are performing a concert, but we get the audience on their feet. We want you dancing, we want you singing with us. So it's theatrical in the sense that we are playing characters stepping into their shoes, but we're stepping into their shoes to give you a live concert. So it also feels like you're at a live show, right? So it's not necessarily like going to a Broadway show. There's a little bit of a through line there. So it's a really fun night.
Cool. Again, this Sunday night, DeVos Performance Hall, Mania, the ABBA tribute with LA-based singer, songwriter, vocal coach, of course, background in classical voice, musical theater, only get the best with you, Melissa Harding. This is such that, I mean, it's literally 2 hours of straight entertainment.
Oh, yeah. And we do have a couple, I would say, for the really avid fans out there, we do throw a couple, we call them deep cuts, you know, lesser known songs into our show. But for the most part, for those that really love ABBA, we are going to be giving you hit after hit after hit. Mm. And I think that's what's so cool about their music is that whether it's one of their more dramatic ballads or it's one of their more up-tempo songs, the songs are just so good. So every song is basically a well-known ABBA song. It's pretty crazy that you can do 2 hours of music and most of them are hit songs, you know,
yeah.
Very well-known songs. Yeah. So we give as many of those as we can, you know, so it's a really fun night. And the other piece I always say is, you know, we encourage the audience to dress up, come ready to party with us. You know, that is what we look forward to each evening. So it's quite a blast.
And, of course, your DeVos Performance Hall, a great stage for you, and certainly the audience we know will give you that standing ovation. How do you keep it fresh? I always ask my actors this.
You know, I would say part of that is really our team. I think that when you come out on a tour like this, we've got a really wonderful team of people on the stage every night and our crew, and we just love doing this job. So I think the thing that for me personally walking out on stage each night that really keeps it fresh for me is the audience, because it's a different group of people in that room every night and it's going to be a little different, you know, and that's what's so fun about our show is there a script? Sure, there's a script, but the script goes off the rails a little bit in the sense that we are connecting with you every single night. So it's all about the energy that the audience brings into the room, and we play off of that. So that's really the exciting part of being a touring singer and walking into a new venue every day, is that there's a different group of people watching every day, and that's a really cool exchange to have with the audience. So they keep us fresh. That's it.
There we go. Lastly, as we begin to let you go, Melissa Harding, oh, I have to ask that silly question. Do you have a favorite song? I mean, when you hear the prep for Dancing Queen or Winner Takes It All, is there something that sends a shiver down your spine?
Oh, you know, I honestly love all the music so much, but personally in the Frida role, one of my favorite songs that she in particular sang and I get to sing every night is Fernando. And it's, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful, one of the most just lovely pieces of music. And I think ABBA, they just told such relatable, wonderful stories. They're so emotional, they're so human, it's so relatable. And Fernando, I just think, is so beautifully written. So it's my favorite to sing every night.
We shall wait for that with bated breath. Melissa Harding, how do we find out more about the good work of Mania, you, and more?
Yeah, you can find us online for tickets at maniatheshow.com. We're also on Instagram, and you can find me as well. I'm Melissa K. Harding on Instagram. Follow our tour journey.
Nice. DeVosPerformanceHall.com/events will get you your ticket as well. All right, have fun. Enjoy our Grand Rapids audience. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, October 23, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.